If you would, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. And our text scripture is that which we just read, verses 10 and 11. And it is a continuation on the subject of the resurrection of the dead. We began that lesson a number of weeks ago in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We looked again in our Bible class this morning at Luke chapter 23. And we'll conclude this study this morning on the resurrection, or that series of lessons, on verses 10 and 11 of Philippians chapter 3. It was announced a little bit ago that we're going to meet tomorrow night for a Bible study. Quite often I ask for subject matter that people would be interested in doing a special study on. And most of the time, I don't get a response, so I have to choose myself. I'm thankful for the subject on the resurrection that I was asked to present. And anytime you have lessons that you would like dealt with and studied on, please let me know. We'll be glad to work lessons on that subject and do so. What we're going to do tomorrow night, and I'm going to try really hard to twist Bobby's arm. You know, Bobby's a little bashful. But our intentions last week was to talk about some things that we wanted to implement for church growth in this congregation, and we kind of got sidetracked. So for the benefit of those of you that would like to know what we're looking at and maybe ask some questions, we would certainly be glad for you to be here. Bobby has probably done more research on the program than I have, but we do have some elders and a preacher from Benton, Arkansas that will be with us on April the 8th. They've been using that program for about a year or a year and a half. Now, that's the congregation where Paul worshiped. You know, Paul moved over here, worshiped with us. He's living at Melbourne now. That's his home congregation where he moved from. They've been utilizing that program about a year and a half now. And there are several other places in Arkansas that have utilized the same program, and they're having quite a bit of success with it. And, you know, we would kind of like to share some of that information with you. I know Bobby and I think Becky may have looked at some of the studies where people come out. They help share with congregations like ourselves that are wanting to start that program what they've done, how they did it. And it's really interesting, and we believe that we have an opportunity here to really move forward and reach out into the community, and we truly believe that this will help us in doing that. But again, let's think about the resurrection that is to come. Remember, if you will, we made a reference this morning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul in that text was talking about a group of Christians that worshipped in Thessalonica, that were deeply concerned about what was going to happen to the brothers and sisters that had passed away. They were afraid they were going to miss out on the resurrection, the bodily resurrection. And Paul said, oh no, that's not going to take place. Now Paul addresses the same subject to a different congregation in the same location. Remember, if you will, on his second missionary journey, he had a vision, saw a man from Macedonia beckoning him to come on over to Macedonia. Well, Philippi and Thessalonica was in that Macedonian area. And it seems to me that he saw a need to talk about the resurrection of the dead on two occasions. When he was writing to the Thessalonican churches, and here in Philippians, when he was writing to the Philippian church. Now, what we're going to do, and we're going to title this study, Knowing Christ in the Next Life. Knowing Christ in the Next Life. Do you know, we sometimes assume that we can learn all that we need to know about the Christ, the Master Teacher, the Prince of Preachers. Oh, we have symbols of Him on our communion wear. We have symbols that reference Him on our buildings in the form of crosses. You see people that wear t-shirts with His name on it. We see t-shirts with the cross on it, symbolizing that He rose from the dead. And that because of that, we have hope in the resurrection. And we do. But I think it's a false conclusion to think that we can know everything that we need to know about Christ in this life. Paul knew that. And that's the reason that he gave us the book of Philippians to teach us and help us to see that there were things that we could learn and know about Christ in the next life. I've learned to watch David Pitts a lot. And he has an expression on his face unlike any I've ever seen. And I could just see those cogs running in his mind. And I had it this morning. I saw it this morning. He said, "I got a question." I said, "I can't believe it, David. You have a question?" And he said, "Yeah." "How's he going to do it?" I said, "What do you mean? How's he going to take this body, this fleshly body, and fix it for the hereafter and the next life?" He made the point, did he not? Because you know what I told him? "I don't know. But I do know that he's going to do it. And I know by faith that one day I'm going to know how he can take a body like this, a vile, corruptible body that gets old and wears out and deteriorates and sooner or later dies and passes out into eternity, and we put the body, the fleshly body, in the ground, and our soul, our spirit goes into paradise or Hadean world to await the resurrection of the dead, and one day he's going to reunite that old fleshly body that has rotted and deteriorated in the grave, and reunite that body with our soul and spirit, and we're going to live eternally." You know, it's hard for us to wrap our minds around that word, eternity. We're so geared to time. There's a clock back there on that wall, and I guess it suggests that I need to pay attention to it. There's a time to start and time to quit. You know, we're just geared like that. We're geared to think about time, but when you're talking about eternity, there is no beginning, and there is no end. raising the point that we just can't know all about Jesus in this life. As a matter of fact, notice, if you will, in verse 11, he said, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That's really an interesting little verse. Now, it's been translated from the Greek language over into the English language so that you and I can read it. But it's kind of difficult if you look at it like it was written in the original language. And you look at it that way, and then look at it the way it's translated here in the English language. And this word resurrection, I drew a little circle around the word here in verse 11 because that is the only place in the New Testament where that word resurrection in the English is translated the exact same way. Now, that doesn't mean that it came from the main root word that we see so often in our New Testaments when it's talking about the root word resurrection. It comes from that same root word, but I understand from reading about it from people that are supposed to know that it comes from a compound Greek word that means out or out of. Now think about that for a moment. It comes from a compound Greek word that means out or out of. That's the reason that you look at this verse when it's translated in several different English translations, and you'll see little variations in the translation of that verse. But what do you think that Paul was trying to get the Philippian church to see in this word? And what does he want us to know? What can we get from this verse that is so important to help us see the need to know Christ in the next life? For example, if you look at it literally translated in the Greek, there are little Bibles that you can buy that it'll have the English right below it and the Greek above it. And if you look at it in one of those New Testaments, here's what it says. Paul is literally saying, out of the resurrection and out of the dead. That's the literal translation. Out of the resurrection. Out of the dead. I know what you're thinking. That's really confusing. And it is. And that's the reason that you see so many different variations. If you look at the American Standard, the New American Standard, the King James, the New King James. If you look at any of the other newer translations, you'll see variations in the translation of this word. And Paul is literally saying that he would be raised out of. He's talking about the second coming. He's talking about the resurrection of the dead. He's saying, out of the resurrection and out of the dead. It's really redundant when you look at it that way, but it really helps us to see that here's what he wants you to know, and here's what he wants the Philippian church to know, and that's what he wants us to know. He's saying that he would be raised out of or away from. Paul says, I'm going to be raised out of, away from some who would be raised. Paul, what are you trying to teach, say? Remember, if you will, in our Bible class this morning, we had three little circles on a chart. One of them referred to the church and the world. And Charles made the point, said there's two arrows comes off of the church. Yep, that's so true. And in reality, what that means is that there are going to be some at the resurrection of the dead that is not going to be a part of heaven. Think about that for a moment. Do you know in our society today, have you ever noticed that it's hard in our society to find anyone that would just step up and say, there are sinners out there. There are sinners out there that are going to lose their soul. There are sinners out there that are going to wake up one day at the resurrection of the dead, and they're going to be in hell. Paul is literally saying, I'm not going to be among that group. Why was he not going to be? Because remember, if you will, in spite of his Old Testament knowledge, his education, his background, when he was on the road to Damascus with the authority to bind and cast into prison anybody that was a Christian, and that bright light shined down from heaven, he saw the Lord, and the Lord said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom you crucified. Oh, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks or the goads. You remember the days when we used to hook up an old mule or a horse and we'd put a single tree behind it. And if they weren't really broke to the wagon or broke to the plow, they'd kick at that single tree till the old foot or the old heel or the old ankle becomes sore, and they soon learn the thing won't break. Saul on that day learned that no matter how often he crucified the church, no harder than he persecuted the church and cast into prison those that were members, it was not going to hinder the work of the church. He was led into Damascus and obeyed the gospel. He became a New Testament Christian. He was born again. And he had a deep, abiding faith that no matter how hard it was, how difficult it was. And oh, he talked about in the Philippian epistle what he gave up for something better, something greater, something more important. He gave it all up for Christ. He had spent 4 years in a prison. Even at the time that he wrote the book of Philippians, the book of Ephesians, the book of Colossians, and the book of Philemon, oh, it still wasn't clear he was going to stand before Nero. Nero could do one or two things. He could find him innocent of the crimes that his own Jewish brethren had charged him for, or he could say guilty and put him to death. He told the Philippian church, whatever the outcome be, if I die, I'm going to be with Christ. If I live, I'm going to help you as much as I can spiritually to become what you need to be. Because we have something in common. We be brethren. And I want to know Christ more than anything else. And the only way that I can ever know Christ is in the next life. Oh, I can know so much about Him in this life, and we can. We can base a lesson on that alone. But oh, what we're going to learn in the next life is something that makes us anticipate, look forward to, and long for that time when we stand before Him at the judgment and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now this takes us back, if you will, when you're talking about the resurrection of the dead, back to the book of John chapter 5. And notice, if you will, in John chapter 5 and in verse 28 and 29, Jesus had been talking about a general resurrection. A general resurrection of the dead. Notice what he said. Verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour cometh in which all that are in their graves shall hear His voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of the judgment. Oh, that puts us back to this little verse. Verse 11. That's kind of redundant, but when we really grasp it, like Paul was trying to say, he's saying, look, I'm looking forward with great anticipation for the resurrection of the dead. Because I'm going to be out of, separate from, those that are going to be condemned at the judgment. Oh, I'm not going to be among that evil group. I'm not going to be like some of those in the world, and I'm not going to be like some of those in the body of Christ that are going to be brought before the Lord at the judgment and answer for the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or bad. Oh my goodness. Paul was thinking in his mind, anticipating whether or not he would be set free or his life would be taken. We're going to start on Wednesday night a study in the book of Titus. And when we began that study, we're going to be looking at, in the introduction, Paul learns he's set free. And we're going to try to trace his travels from Rome out to where he went based on what we can know from the scriptures. And then the following Wednesday night, we're going to pick up in the book of 1 Timothy. Do the same thing. What Paul's saying, though, here in verse 11, I don't know whether I'm going to get out of here alive this time. Don't know what Nero's going to say. If he sets me free, that's okay. I'd rather be with Christ. I'd rather be in that paradise park that we talked about a few moments ago. But if he severs my head from my shoulder, oh, it's going to be wonderful. Because I'm going to be with Christ. But if he doesn't do that, I'm going to spend what time I've got left preaching and teaching the gospel. Sharing with others. What a blessing it's going to be to one day stand before God at the judgment and hear him say, well done. What do you think he was trying to do? He's trying to let them know, just like we need to know. We need to know that at the resurrection of life, there are going to be wondrous blessings to enjoy. Paul said, I'm going to be called out of, separate from, that group that will hear the Lord say, depart from me, I never knew you. Cast them out there into outer darkness where there be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm not going to be among that group at the resurrection. I'm going to be among the resurrection of life, where I can enjoy all the blessings of life. A place where all problems will be resolved. All problems will be resolved. Paul will never be cast into another jail cell. He'll never spend 4 years in a prison for something he was not guilty of. He'll never have to undergo another mob. He'll never have to stand before someone that says, Paul, you're a liar. You're not a true apostle. Because you see, in the resurrection of life, all those problems are going to be solved. And all the evil, the hard feelings, they're going to be healed. Paul says, I'm not going to have to write any more letters to the church at Corinth about their problems, about the problem solvers and the problem makers, because you see, all those problems are going to be. Here he was, an old man. Oh, he had been whipped, cast from one prison to another, one jail cell to another, had been laughed at, ridiculed. His old joints were aching and hurting. The human frailty of life is going to be over, people. They're going to be eliminated. And all our wrongs are going to be set right. You see why Paul was so excited about the second coming and the judgment? He was going to know Jesus as he was, as he remained. reminded them in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23. I'll be with Christ. As was said in John chapter 17 and at verse 3, in this life, eternal. This is life eternal. That we may know the Christ. That we might know thee. Paul knew that in spite of everything he had learned about the master teacher and the prince of preachers in this life, there was things he was going to learn at the resurrection, the second coming of Christ, that was going to be so, so different. Remember what Paul said? Now this is based on, remember, Jesus told his disciples that I'm going to have to leave. And I'm going to send the Comforter to help you and to take my place. And he said, if I go, I'm coming back. And while I'm away and while I'm gone, I'm going to build some mansions. And when those mansions are completed, I'm coming back and I'm going to get you and I'm going to take you to that place. Paul said, I'm going to be around that group. That's what he means when he says, I'm going to be called out of, away from that group that made the choice not to have a mansion reserved in heaven. Do you have one reserved in heaven? Have you been living in such a way that you have uplifted the church, the body of Christ? Because Paul reminded the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, all of these people, all of these fleshly bodies that are left and all that have been placed in their tombs, they're going to be raised at the last day. And at the judgment, there are going to be two groups. And Paul said, there's one group I am not going to be among. I'm not going to be among that group that never obeyed the gospel. Nor am I going to be among that group who, while in this life, embraced Christ, was added to the body of Christ, and lost their soul on the day of judgment. I'm not going to be among that group. Remember what John, the aged apostle, said in 1 John chapter 3 and at verses 2 and 3. It doth not appear what we shall be. We shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. Isn't that something? To think about a promise like that. But if you're going to enjoy that promise, then you're going to have to be like Paul. What was it that separated him, set him apart? Was he sinless? Oh, no. He said, I was a chief of sinners. But he said, I want you to follow me. Because since my conversion, I've been following the master teacher and the prince of preachers. Have you been following the master teacher? Have you been learning from the scriptures that you can become like him by imitating him? Have you been trying to the best of your ability to be like him? You have the opportunity while this life is still clicking on. If you need to respond in any way, why not take the opportunity as T.A. leads us in this song?